All right, howlers, let's get howling. But first, a couple quick warnings. First warning, this podcast contains adult content.
Don't be a pixie.
Second warning, this podcast contains spoilers for the entire Red Rising saga.
Also, don't be a pixie, bitch. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, you know, TikTok, email at HowlerPod. TikTok is at HowlerPodOfficial. Email howlerpod@gmail.com and rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then you won't be in our top 5.
No, you won't. And now, HowlerPod. Podcast for all things Red Rising, where every episode we dive deep to break down, celebrate, and discuss all aspects of the fantastic Red Rising saga by Howler number one, Pierce Brown.
Ow!
I am your host, Ben Reinert. I am joined today, as always, by the amazing Aaron Ayers.
That's me. Hello, Howlers.
Aaron, what are we up to today?
We have finally made it. We are giving out the laurel. We are in our top 5. We are naming Primus.
It's the actual Prime 5.
It's the Prime 5
yeah.
for Prime 25. So I think we have a lot of the same people. A couple are different, which, you know.
I wonder who's coming.
Who's it going to be? Who do you think is in our top 5?
Before we jump into that, we have a few little business items to take care of.
Business.
Would you like to tell everybody about our special contest that we're running right now?
Yes. If you subscribe and like and comment on our YouTube page, then you will be entered to win. I can't reach it. This special gift from Del Rey, and we'll send it to you in the box they sent it to us in, which is
this is the Red Rising slipcase special edition. I'm sure you've seen it all over the internet.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people have Del Rey gifted to the influencers, and we're all giving them away. So it's so beautiful. It smells so good.
It's incredible.
Like,
it's got a poster in it. The illustrations are amazing.
Fresh paint.
Yes. All it's about beautiful. It. So all you have to do is, you know, go to our YouTube page.
Subscribe, like, comment.
And you can actually see.
Hey, Ben, give me that fucking book.
What it looks like. If you're only listening to the podcast and you don't do any social media and you haven't seen it, you can go to YouTube. And Aaron is dancing with it right now.
EO's dancing.
Yeah, EO's dancing. Yes. Not hanging, dancing.
Jesus
What else we got?
We also have, if you're a longtime listener of the pod, we have our own Tim Gerard Reynolds. His name is Nick Brenlow, our friend from across the pond who
doing
has
all of our voice work.
Beautiful voice work for us. So you don't have to listen to our British accents because he has a real one. He's starting his own YouTube channel, which is for tutoring.
Candid Learning Solutions, I believe.
And on YouTube, it's at Candid GCSE.
I checked it out. You've got some great videos on there. He's doing some like lectures kind of like in the English lit area.
And best part of all is you get to listen to his yummy, yummy accent.
Amazing voice work from Nick, obviously. And then if you're, you know, looking for some tutoring around English, reach out to our friend Nick. We can get you connected. Reach out to us. Go to his YouTube channel.
It's also like, you know, when you're on TikTok and you watch like 18 hours of like 2-minute videos, this is like, he has like a, you know, learning video where you don't have to keep...
You could just learn.
It's like YouTube instead of TikTok. So check it out.
Very interesting stuff. Talking about, you know, Middle Earth, Tolkien, some Lord of the Rings.
Drugs.
Doing some stuff around, you know, the classic monsters.
Yes.
Some lectures around that. So even if you're not in need of tutoring, check it out. It's very
subscribe,
cool videos.
Support your fellow howlers.
Yeah. Let's help Nick out. Let's get his channel boosted. So... go like
top
and subscribe.
Top of the morning, Nick.
We love Nick and all the help that he has provided for us. So our last little order of business, December 5th.
Oh my God, you guys, we're going to go see our favorite band. I'm doing this. I forgot to wear it. I do have like three Me Like Bees shirts, but we're seeing.
I think I've worn all of them during these videos.
If you haven't heard of Me Like Bees, they performed at the last HowlerCon and fucking blew our faces off.
They're amazing. We also have an interview with them on the pod feed, so go check that out.
One
they're
of those
big Red Rising fans.
Huge Red Rising fans, and they fucking rock, you guys. So if you're in the Kansas City area, if you can
Friday,
check
them
December out, 5th. December 5th at the Warehouse on Broadway.
And
we will be there.
We'll be there.
And I think maybe, I don't know, Kevin from Beers the Mind Killer, he hasn't committed.
All right, Kevin. The challenge has been thrown down.
But he lives here.
Yeah, so our KC Howlers, anybody that wants to, you know, nearby, wants to travel in, come
we'll
see us.
And, it's for my birthday, so.
Me Like Bees puts on a killer show. They will not
disappoint. And they sell out, so check them out.
Get your tickets.
Those are all of our announcements.
Yeah, so.
Thank you for listening.
Now it's
on to the episode.
Yeah, now it's time for the real countdown here. Do we need to talk about criteria? I think we've covered it. Vibes. You're now more
well,
vibes.
Now it's like favorites.
Now it's just
top
like,
five is favorites.
Yeah, we're talking about favorites.
Period.
Today. Do we want to start? Where do you want to start? You, me?
I'll start.
Okay.
And we have a lot of overlap, so.
Yeah. We've got kind of a different order, but we'll be talking about the same characters at the same time.
Sure.
Right?
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Love it. I'll go first. My number five on my top 25 is Ragnar Valaris.
Wow.
Yes. It's crazy that Ragnar's up so high because, you know, we didn't get him for that long, but
he's just so
he's
good.
He's so
though.
Impactful. It's clearly like, it's kind of crazy. You know, most authors wouldn't kill such a meaningful character. But yeah, that's the beauty of Pierce Brown. And ruining our lives and breaking our hearts.
Beauty of his writing, right? Like, even with a small amount of page time, he just has this giant impact.
Right. I cry a lot every time EO dies, but I'm telling you, I cry so much for Ragnar.
I don't think I've cried for a book character
more
than Ragnar.
And it's
number one cry.
Every time. I know I know it's coming. And sometimes I think about it.
I know I've told this story before, but there was one time where I was re-listening to the books and I was like out mowing my lawn and listening to Ragnar die.
It's dangerous.
And I was crying while mowing. I was just like,
and your neighbors were like, that guy hates mowing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's tough.
Okay, so Ragnar's on my top five as well, but he's at number four for me.
Whoa.
Yeah, I moved him up high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite moment is when we meet Ragnar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of favorite moments. I have a few other favorite moments, but I picked this one because this is when we first see someone speaking in bold too. Yeah. So like he really makes a big impact when you're reading it physically. And they're on the Vanguard. It's Golden Sun. And Darrow and Severo have just not kamikazed. Spit tube.
Yeah, spit tube.
Into the Vanguard. And, you know, they tell all the howlers or the low colors to rise up. And then they're in the bridge and all the golds are like about to get through. And they're like, we're fucked, you know?
Yeah.
And then they see like on the screen or they hear him over the comm like, are you a god? And
so good.
Daryl's like, oh, fuck. And then Ragnar comes and offers his stance.
Are you a god?
He's like, yes?
Yeah. You got to say yes to that question when Ragnar's asking.
Can you hear
it.
Me? And then he kills everyone, and he's good at doing that.
Yes, that's a great one. And then he offers the stains.
Yeah, and Severo's like, fucking do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
What's your favorite moment?
Mine is also in Golden Sun, but it's later in the book, in the mines, where Darrow has, you know, revealed his true nature to Mustang, and they're having the standoff. Ragnar shows up. The tension just ratchets to like 80 million.
Now I got to shoot both of you.
Yeah, and you're like, is Ragnar going to kill Mustang? But he shows that he is capable of change and that he is going to stand by his friend and he decides to not attack Mustang.
And he kneels down.
And that's the turning point. I feel like that proves like,
yeah,
what Darrow's trying to do is real. The like someone like Ragnar, who's like this hardened killer who everybody
who's been
calls
abused by Gold,
basically a tool or a dog or whatever, like that he's a real human being that is capable of change.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole Love story it. Right there.
Great job, Ragnar. And thanks, Mustang, for not shooting him.
She's pretty badass in that moment. She's like, bring it on!
She's like, yeah. Fuck all of you.
She gets a razor out. Yeah. She's just ready to go.
That would have been fun to watch.
What's your favorite quote?
If everyone came out of it, it would laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite quote. This is when Darrow's like kind of mad at Ragnar because Ragnar tells Mustang where they are.
She's like standing outside the ship waiting for...
Yeah.
Yeah. The lights
and,
come on. And she's
Darrow's
like,
fuck Ragnar. Yeah.
You could have given this all away.
That's she a good cinematic this. Moment. Remember when we used to... We should do a top 25 cinematic moments next. But the quote that Ragnar says to Darrow is, a man thinks he can fly, but he's afraid to jump. A poor friend pushes him from behind. A good friend jumps with. He's basically like,
yep.
if you're dead, I'm dead. Like,
yep.
I'm throwing in my trust to Mustang because she deserves it. Obviously.
Yeah, he shows Darrow the way.
Yeah. Is this also after he lets Kavix go?
Yes.
Like without Darrow's permission. Yeah. And then that's how Mustang finds him. Yeah, that's right. It's all coming back to me, Celine Dion.
That's my favorite quote too.
I said it first.
And it's
you have to pick a new one.
And it's a Lorne quote, which is also great. Or he's like, Darrow goes like, "You've been reading Lorne, haven't you?" He's
yeah.
Like, Lorne was a great man.
I like your obsidian accent.
That's. I mean, that's such Aww. A. It's just a good quote. I
Let's
mean,
just
it's,
talk about Ragnar.
It's
the
great
whole time.
Advice. Not only for Darrow, but for all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't push your friends from behind unless they deserve it.
You gotta jump with. All right. My number five.
Uh-oh.
Why are you saying uh-oh?
Because I looked at your list right before this and I was like, well, you're... Okay, you say it.
You say it. All right. It's Darrow.
Nice.
I think that's fine. It's fine. I love Darrow. He's one of my favorite
he's
characters.
He's not your number one.
He's not my number one.
All right.
I mean...
Spoiler alert, Darrow is my number one.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm a basic main character bitch.
And that makes
also,
total
we
sense.
Know Darrow the most.
We do.
We're in his mind.
And that's why maybe I take him down lower. I don't know. I'm also like, you know, I'm kind of a contrarian when it comes to this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just... Darrow is fantastic. One of my favorite book characters ever. But I
He's
love
the
this
reason
whole
for the
series.
Season.
I love this whole series. And there's just characters that I end up like liking more.
Sure.
I don't know why. How to explain that other than just that.
Whenever I read a first person or I don't know, I kind of feel like I am them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like as I go through the story,
right.
Like I'm Darrow and I like myself.
Yeah.
So maybe you hate yourself. Just kidding.
Maybe I don't know, psychoanalyze, but like I mean I think of like other first person point of view stuff, like I don't know, Harry Potter or something like that. Like Harry Potter's not my favorite character.
Yeah,
I don't know, I just never,
it's Malfoy,
it's like I'm just like I like a side character. I'm that type of guy. I like the
you like a side piece.
Yeah, exactly. So my favorite moment is and I went back and forth on this. This was tough.
This is tough. Yeah. This one took me forever, and I don't even agree with
There was two things
myself.
That just like kind of bubbled to the top for me.
Okay.
And that was Gala Gala.
I put Gala Gala.
Okay.
But I was like...
I didn't end
up
picking
That's one
it.
Of many.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I did pick... Yeah, I did.
So that's your favorite moment?
My favorite moment... I said big fighting moments when he goes Full Metal Darrow.
Yeah.
Full Metal Darrow.
Yeah.
And... say that five times fast. So Gala Gala is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Him fighting Faw at the end of Lightbringer is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Iron Rain. You know, there's a ton of them. So right. my favorite moments are when he's like awesome at fighting.
Yeah.
And Pierce is so good at like describing everything that's happening in a way you can like follow the whole fight. And,
yeah.
You know, really be in it. So I picked Gala Gala specifically when he's stomping on the table. I thought that is hilarious.
Amazing. Spilling the wine on Cassius's lap.
Just love it.
So good.
Yeah. And then when he's like, Lorne would care.
Yeah.
bitch.
It's so good.
It's so
every
good.
Every time it hits, it's so hard. Good. Ultimately, I went with clang, clang, clang.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Full Metal Darrow.
Yes.
We don't like soft Darrow.
I mean, I appreciate.
Sure.
But when he's in his element as the Reaper, like,
oh yeah,
nothing better.
Love it.
Yes. So.
He's good at it.
And I feel like clang, clang, clang is like Gala Gala, but almost even higher amperage.
And we've been through more. We've learned more about ourselves.
Yeah. So, an amazing.
Got the Way of the Wind. I call it something different
moment.
Every time.
The Breath of Stone.
The Name of the Wind. That's a different book.
Yeah.
Which is also good. Do you want to do quote first?
So, there's too many good quotes from Darrow.
I know. Well, it's just fierce. Like, it's just like, it's like so many. What do you mean?
So, I'm just going to go quick. And I did one from each book.
Okay. Do you have mine?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I saw yours, and yours is amazing, and I'm glad. I'm like
right?
so jealous I didn't pick that one.
Well, yeah. I looked up like best Darrow quotes, and then it's funny. There's like 18 pages. I was like, shit. So I did that at work. I mean, I was working.
So Red Rising, I would have lived in peace, but my enemies brought me war. Just a banger.
It is the opening line.
Yeah, I mean, just an absolute
banger.
It's
the tattoo that you must get.
Golden Sun, tell all who will hear the Reaper sails for Mars and he calls for an iron rain. I mean, just a banger, banger.
Banger.
Morningstar, which I think this is probably the best speech that he makes the entire book series. And it's kind of a long quote. I mean, it's a very long speech, but this is just the final part of it. And he's talking, this is the On Phobos, the tide is rising speech. Today, I declare your rule to be at its end. Your cities are not your cities. Your vessels are not your vessels. Your planets are not your planets. They were built by us and they belong to us, the common trust of man. Now we take them back. Never mind the darkness you spread. Never mind the night you summon. We will rage against it. We will howl and fight till our last breath, not just in the mines of Mars, but on the shores of Venus, on the dunes of Io's sulfur seas and the glacial valleys of Pluto. We will fight in the towers of Ganymede and the ghettos of Luna and the storm-stricken oceans of Europa, which he kind of does all of that stuff. And if we fall, others will take our place because we are the tide and we are rising.
Rise, my son.
So good. So good. Iron Gold, Low Wife. Just, it hits my heart.
Low husband,
every
low
time.
Wife.
Every time. I love it so much. Dark Age. Well, here I am, you deviant bitch. Here I bloody am, the motherfucking consequence.
Like, sorry, I took over.
A fucking banger.
That's great.
Another banger.
Another tattoo idea.
And then Lightbringer.
The motherfucking consequence.
Yeah. Lightbringer, I went with the Breath of Stone. All my life, I've had the Helldivers mentality. Smashing through obstacles fast enough will gain the laurel for my clan. But now, after breaking a million drills and myself, I can see the flaws in that mentality. I'm done forcing my way through rock like a hungry claw until I break. Now I know to shift around obstacles, flow through gaps like those same deep mind winds that the path referenced, the same winds that filled the old tunnels around Lycos. This Darrow, that Lightbringer Darrow, he could be my favorite character. I just need to see more of him.
I think we'll see him
in Red God.
And then he'll die.
I love the way he grew and changed in Lightbringer.
Yes.
So I think like we could revisit this list. He might be higher.
Okay.
But number five for today.
Well,
what's your favorite quote?
I said too many.
Yep.
And then Dark Age. This is it. It kind of is anticlimactic because of what happens right after this. But the quote itself is awesome. This is like gearing up for the big Sunblood charge. You know, he sees Lysander in the distance and he's like, let's fucking
and
go.
And we are just like at the end of the book, we're so stressed. Darrow has just been through the absolute
it's not been
ringer.
Fun.
His fucking hair's fallen out.
You were radiated.
Alexander's dead.
Poles have been up all the butts. We're done with the poles.
Our pets' heads are falling off. This is just
our pets' heads are falling off.
It's a Dumb and Dumber quote.
Nope.
Didn't get it. Oh, all right.
I've seen Dumb and Dumber a lot. I mean, it's been 20 years, but. Okay. Dark Age. I gave him a choice long ago, a chance to live in peace, but he has returned to war. To see the boy become a man sours the empathy in me. Me too. That's not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
10 years too late. He must die. My snipers no longer fire. Thraxo waits for my signal on the roof. I shape my razor from its long form to the sling blade. The dread monster rises in the belly of me. Laughter spews from between my teeth. I would die for the truth that all men are created equal. But in the kingdom of death, amidst ramparts of bodies and wind all of screams, there is a king, and his name is not Loon, it is Reaper.
I was just I'll run through a wall right now, listen to that quote, you know?
He is on the horse. And then he goes, jousting. We were just at the Renfest. Not, their jousting was not that exciting. We actually were like, this is the exact same thing they did last year. With the same horses that are falling asleep.
That was tough. I love the Casey Ren Fair overall. The jousting.
Come on. We can't have a sleepy Clydesdale.
I just like, yeah, we got to have some speed.
He's like. He's like, I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
It was like bad professional wrestling.
But great job, Darrow.
Yeah.
Number one on my list.
Okay, number one. So that's my five. I've done my four already. So who's your four?
My four you did last week is Severo.
Okay. I do feel bad about this now. I've been rethinking it. But
then, you know, who would you replace him with?
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's really tough.
And I put Severo. I like a lot of people, Severo is their number one, but I like the people I had above him a little more. So that was tough. But I love Severo. He's the ying to Darrow's yang or vice versa.
There was something I read where it's just kind of like Severo, he really just wants to be, he like yearns for acceptance.
Yeah.
And
he wants big brother Darrow to,
but he kind of like alienates himself because he wants it so bad, you know, like, but well, he doesn't Severo wants also, to be cool about it.
Severo goes through a lot of shit his whole life. But I really like Severo. I also really like the goblin side of Severo where he's like scary and really good at espionage and, you know, scaring the shit out of people.
The only person that could give Atlas a run for his money.
Yeah. I don't know, Cadadrius. But, you know, Severo, I think in Lightbringer, we start to see him, like, at the end, starting to come back. He's really nice to Truffle Pig. I mean, nice in Severo's way. He doesn't kill her. And he just wants to be a dad, and he just wants to bang his hot wife. And I mean, what's so wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Favorite moment I put in Golden Sun when he makes Darrow fess up to being a red. So this kind of like helps Darrow start to trust people around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's so alone in that moment that he starts sobbing and hugging Severo. So this just really shows that brother bond between them and how much Severo's needed by Darrow, you know, to get through it.
Moment.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he like blows his nose into the towel and Severo's like, oh, that's for your eyes. Favorite quote is when he's singing to Pliny. If your heart beats like a drum and your legs a little wet, it's because the Reaper's come to collect a little debt.
I like.
Is he British now? I don't know. Nick, what do you think?
I think you nailed it.
Thank you.
That was a great moment. And that's what that playful side of Severo is.
We love the jokes. Fantastic. Playful side.
Yeah.
He ate my candy. I'm a terrorist warrior.
Yes,
you can't throw
that to me. Yeah.
And
first trilogy Severo's.
I love the moments with Darrow, Ragnar, Severo. I think Severo's hard for you to like because how much you love Cassius.
Yeah.
And how he's like constantly a dick to Cassius.
They're not.
I think you feel like kind of protective, maybe.
Maybe that's in subconscious.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's my dude. Yeah. No, we love Severo.
Great one.
Number three.
So my number three is Severo's wife, Victra.
My number three is Severo's wife, Victra.
Okay. I mean, Victra is just amazing. Such a great character.
I had trouble. I don't know. Victra. Especially like Dark Age Victra. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
She was top notch.
Yep. Dark Age Victra. I mean, you just wish, like, I think kind of the sparseness is kind of what makes her so special, but like she's really not in the books like a ton. She's yeah. very much a side character, but like so impactful.
Great friend. And just to like Darrow and Virginia. Yes.
So fully realized as a character. It's just like very easy to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And you can tell like
she's hot. She's a little older.
And you can tell Pierce just really loves to write her character yeah. and is kind of in love with Victra.
And
like
Miles,
we all are.
Miles loves drawing Victra. the most strong character by Miles.
Calling him out. Miles, how will you respond
yeah.
by drawing Victra?
By drawing Victra. Loves Victra. I don't have one of Miles' Victra. That's when I get one.
Yeah, we need one for the studio. Okay, so what's your favorite moment then?
Oh, I put when she tells Darrow to share the load, darling.
Yeah.
And kills everyone for the doxicant.
She's a great friend.
He's like struggling and she's like, has to be done. Pew.
Yeah.
Or she's like, orders the blues to do it.
Right. That's on my favorite quotes. I had two quotes for her, but one of those was share the load, darling. This one's on me.
Yeah.
So good. And just like, I don't know, like she's just a great friend. Yeah. Even like how.
And she's like, I can take this.
Yeah.
You know, Darrow will die with guilt either way, but.
Right. But she's taken a little off of him. Whatever she can do. And just like, even at the end of Golden Sun, when she's like, I was not involved. Like, I didn't know, you know? And she like,
yeah.
has to get that across.
Yeah,
as she's like,
yeah.
paralyzed and.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Like,
obviously, they also put you, paralyze you and put you in a cell.
And it's great that Darrow will not leave Adrius's fortress
without
her.
Yeah.
You know, that's another great moment as well. So we love Victra so much. I mean, just an amazing, you know, female character written by Pierce.
What's your quote? Or what's your moment?
Yeah, my favorite moment is every time she makes Darrow uncomfortable. Just
yeah,
like
when she like kisses him on
butt.
The mouth.
Yeah, and stuff.
Her unwanted advances.
Yes.
It's cute when it's her.
But I just love how she flusters him.
Yeah.
And he can, like, can't deal with it.
Right. He's just like, I like mustard. She's like, I don't give a fuck.
And then, yeah, favorite quotes. I had the same, share the load, darling. This one's on me. And then this one from Lightbringer is just such a banger. You're the bookish one. Was it a man who said, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? It must have been. To imagine something so petty as scorn to be the utmost misery a woman could suffer. What, I wonder, would he make of a mother who has seen her husband sold like meat and her babe nailed to a tree? Perhaps wrath, I am thee? They come for our children, Virginia. Do not fear for me. Instead, pity them.
I got chills.
I did too.
Kevin has a really awesome art.
Incredible.
With that, with the
yeah,
sun
with
crying.
The sun. Yes, check that out. Beers and Mind Killer yep. Etsy shop. It is so cool.
Love our artists.
Did you say
two
your
quotes.
Quote? Okay, yeah.
This is after the unlikely trio is sitting by the campfire and they swear Lyria, Volga, and Victra after they get out of the Red mm-hmm. Hand. Mm-hmm. And Victra's basically saying, like, you're my bitches now. Mm-hmm. That's what the quote is. Yeah. She says, let your enemies be my enemies. Let your errors be my errors. Let your life be my life. I do not tell lies. If ever you call, House Barca will answer.
Nice. Yeah.
I wanted her to say that to me.
That whole moment is so powerful.
So powerful.
Yeah.
It's what you want to happen at a campfire.
Yeah, yeah, really. It really know? Is, you know?
At the lake.
You want to have like an oath yes. of truth, you know?
I'm going to memorize that. We're just going to be like chilling and be like, Ben, listen up.
I'd be so down for that. I will call on House Heirs.
Nice. And then this is her to Mustang, but if we cannot engineer salvation for our men, then vengeance will suffice.
Yeah. That's the end of Dark Age, right?
Like this, I think this when, is this after
this is like
Virginia
right,
shows
yeah,
her scars?
End. Yeah. It's like where Mustang shows up on Mars.
And Virginia, fuck, Victor's pissed at Virginia because she didn't get Severo out.
Right.
And Virginia's basically like, look how fucking beat up I am. I almost died. Yeah. And then they have a healing moment there.
That was incredible. Good call.
Who's your two?
My number two.
My number two.
She's on my shirt. It's Mustang.
Mine's Virginia.
Yes, Virginia Augustus. So yeah, shout out Kevin Beers Mind Keller again for the amazing Mustang shirt. Check it out on YouTube.
I want that. Can I have it?
Yeah. We can match.
Can I have it?
Well, you cannot have this one.
Oh, okay.
This one's mine.
I'll get my own.
But yeah, you can buy your own. Okay, so I mean, I know this is
so
kinda,
many good
this is your corner. So I'm gonna let you start off. Horse girl.
Horse girl. I mean, obviously.
What's your favorite moment?
There's so many good ones. Yeah. Again, you know, I love the boots on the table, apple scene with the fucking silvers. But I think my favorite is when she kind of outsmarts Abominadrius and is able to escape him just by knowing, you know, the poison flower. She knows how to trick him and manipulate him. Hmm. And she goes down the secret behind the bookshelf slide.
Yeah.
After paralyzing her hand. And then I also like the scene with her and Victor that we just talked about when she shows what she went through.
Incredibly powerful.
You know.
Yeah.
Which is all after that. But
I mean, Mustang is
so
just
many good ones.
So fantastic. She's like,
we also hear like more of her mind, obviously, once we get her POV.
Yes.
And
very important.
And I always loved Mustang before, but then to see how, you know, smart and cunning she is
the Mustang POVs are amazing. Awesome. Absolutely amazing.
And the voice actress, she's awesome too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what is there? I mean,
what's
if you've
moment?
Listened to this podcast, you know that we fucking
we stand,
love Mustang.
We stand Mustang.
My favorite moment. I just did the whole battle of Phobos, just the whole thing, including the conversation with Lysander.
Great.
It's amazing.
Oh yeah.
So good.
She's and like, oh, you think you're a smart little bitch? I'm a smart little bitch.
I have a really hard time not saying that's not my favorite sequence in the entire book series. Like, I love that sequence so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love being in Mustang's head for it. I love the way she manages that battle. I don't know. I just like, I
and
some
she's
of
like, the odds are stacked against me, but that doesn't mean.
Right.
We're going to lose.
Some of the reason like I picked Mustang and Victor ahead of Darrow is just because like I think I would actually be way more devastated if either of them died versus Darrow. Like Darrow,
none of them can die.
I would be
Sorry.
Devastated, but like I would understand it a lot more. But like if you kill Mustang, I will be in the fucking streets.
Well,
like,
Pierce has said he wrote Mustang after his own mom. So
I will just like,
we're going to
I would be in the streets. Like, I would be
what are you doing
so upset. I would be in traffic yelling at people.
Crying.
Whatever. Yes, crying.
With your lawnmower.
Like, yeah. It would be insanity. Like, I would just have. And that's why the Day of Red Doves, I was like, I was freaking out. You did think she kind of died. Like,
I
was
like,
is she dead?
I don't like it.
Who knows? That we both had to look forward and just make sure. That was one point in time where I was like, I'm just going to flip forward and make sure there's another Mustang chapter. I'm not going to read it, but I just want to make sure that there's another one coming because she better not be dead.
I probably read it. I don't remember.
So the whole Battle of Phobos is amazing.
And then we have to talk about first trilogy Mustang.
So
I mean,
good.
You know, she's kind of the only reason Darrow's heart heals at all after EO and he softens to.
She helps him figure out the whole thing, like,
and
especially in the first
book. He also
book.
Sees, like, just because your dad is a psycho murderer doesn't mean that you are, you know,
right.
Like, you aren't, not all
she
gold
also shows
bad.
That gold is capable of change.
Yes.
Which was in question.
And she's a builder.
Yep.
He's a breaker.
Exactly.
We need both.
They need
sides.
Each other. That's what's, I think, the going back and rereading the original Red Rising, those are my favorite parts where they're kind of coming up with the philosophy of the Rising and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good
democracy.
Stuff. Yeah, democracy. Quote. Are you a Democrat?
I'll do my quote.
Yeah, go ahead.
Darrow says, how can I trust you? And I got to read this long one. Mustang says, you can't. That's why I'm coming with you, to prove I believe in your wife's dream. but you have to prove something to me, that you are worthy of my trust in turn. I know you can break. I need to see that you can build. I need to see what you will build. If the blood we will shed is for something, prove that and you have my sword. Fail and we will go our separate ways. She cocks her head to me. So what do you say, Helldiver? Do you want to give it one more go? Is she flirting?
She's kind of flirty.
But that's the whole,
yeah,
the whole deal.
Right.
She's also like, I have your baby.
Kind of important as well.
But you don't know.
I couldn't really narrow it down. I think
she's got some really good, like, long ones.
Yeah. My favorite quote.
Enjoy, my love.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Sorry, I took it.
You have not been abandoned. I will come for you. Until then, endure, my love, endure.
Mm-hmm.
Just that piece of Dark Age, like, that gives me, like, especially after that whole battle sequence, like, it just gives you so much hope. And I know she doesn't actually
end up
coming.
And you know Mustang's on your side.
Yes, but, like, it makes me feel so good.
She's sending ships.
And then I had to include her just putting down Lysander because it's really fun. And she said, I doubt you had Darrow's full attention. You must wonder what will happen when you do. Will you measure up?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's a perfect little cut.
And he is wondering.
To Lysander. Yeah. He's obsessed with it. He doesn't know if he measures up. Like, why are you so obsessed with me, Lysander? Right. Yeah, it's this whole deal.
Lysander doesn't have daddy issues. He has Darrow issues. Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah. You know?
And then I feel like we just had to get this one in there, and that's this horse rides for only one man.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Great. Right.
It's just, we had to mention that one.
Yeah. It is good. Oh, Mustang. All right. Well, I'm all out. I already Mine, to remind you, were Darrow, Virginia, Victra, Sevro, and Ragnar. And who have we not mentioned yet, Ben?
Right. I mean, this is a surprise for everyone, I'm sure, but it is Cassius.
Your number one
character. I mean, come on, guys. You've heard me talk about Cassius a million times. My favorite moment for Cassius, I think it's the brothers moments.
Uh-huh.
Like, first book, The Race to the Cornucopia, that we call it The Race to the Cornucopia. But
yes,
the thunder and lightning stuff and, like, them racing down the hill and just having...
It is the race to the Cornucopia. That's what they're doing. Dead horse gang.
I mean, it's just... That stuff's so much fun. And it sets up everything later on. And so... And then the kind of closing of that loop on the ship over Jupiter where they have the conversation about, you know, being brothers for real. And
yeah. I could not enjoy that. Because
it's good stuff. I know we were all thinking, well, Cassius is dead now.
Yeah.
But it's just so beautiful. Like, the friendship between the two of them is just beautiful.
It is.
So those are all my... And then, you know, like you had mentioned for your Cassius moment, the drinking the whiskey together, watching the old highlights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who hasn't done that as an old washed up man like me? You know, watching...
Are you... What highlights are you watching? Like your old basketball highlights?
You know, I've got highlights.
I don't think I have highlights.
You would probably talk
shows.
About... Yeah, you have stuff.
I used to be in shows.
So, and then for my favorite quotes, I picked one funny one because he's a hilarious character. And I feel like we forget about that because he's kind of a heavy character. But, like, he's so funny.
And so handsome.
And this plays on both of those. He said, it's the jawline. Isn't it selfless, really? I take the pressure off everyone else. They don't have to worry about being the most handsome in the room. They can just be heavy as the chin that sets the bar.
Lots of chin talk. I mean, especially in Lightbringer.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Right there. And then, of course, the best line ever. I mean, my favorite line in the entire series. I don't even need the second part of this. The I must part, I'm telling you, is... so powerful. I must. And then he says, I am Cassius Bellona, son of Tiberius, son of Julia, brother of Darrow, morning knight of the Solar Republic, and my honor remains. And then he dies. But
spoiler,
I'm gonna cry right now. I mean, it's so,
yeah,
so good.
I must.
He can't let it go. Like,
and Lysander is a bitch, so we must kill him.
So that's it. That's the prime 25.
Wow. Great job.
Darrow and Cassius.
Brothers.
That worked out well.
Brothers.
Yeah.
Main character energy.
Fits our vibe well, I think.
What are your top 25? Should we jump into some of our Howler mailbag 25s?
Yes, we've got Howler emails. We're going to plan to do a wrap-up episode with Howler emails, Howler voicemails. So keep sending those in. We'll be doing that next week.
Next ep.
But today we have a great voicemail from our friend Cassie P.
Cassie P.
She's back.
Hello, Howlers, and hello to Ben and Aaron. I'm so glad the Howler Pod is back. I must admit, when I saw the new Howler Pod episode marker in my podcast app, I stared at it like Ron T. Flavinius stared at Bitch Sander, quote, as if he'd seen a man come back from the void. Now, hearing that Aaron approached her final 25 prime characters by compiling a whole list and tossing out a bunch of characters got me thinking about what characters were probably too small to even make that list to be thrown out, and yet had an outsized impact on the course of events. I finally settled on choosing one character from each book that fit that description, and today I am presenting my choices from Red Rising, Golden Sun, and Morningstar. From Red Rising is the Helldiver extraordinaire of Lycos, Dago. Now, Dago is Darrow's first man crush. When they were on that lift, Dago took that long drag on his burner, making it burn down more quickly, and said to Darrow, "This is you." Comparing it to Darrow's general attitude and approach to life. Now, that three-word metaphor would go on to inform both Darrow's philosophy about how an uprising against a society would need to be organized. That is, a whole bunch of hot-blooded Reds can't just spill out of the mine. That rebellion wouldn't last more than, you know, a number of days, if even that, if society's not behind the movement. He's going to need other colors, and he'll need to weaken the system over time first. Otherwise, the rebellion or the uprising will burn down like that burner, hot but fast. And it also informed his approach to his courtship with one horse-riding blondie. When he finds Mustang in her cell on Olympus, he thinks about the fact that there was probably time to smash, but he remembers Dago's burner metaphor and keeps it in his pants. He wants more than that with Mustang. Side note, in my headcanon, when he goes into that room to rescue Mustang, I know she was asleep, but in my headcanon, she says, "Aren't you a little tall for a stormtrooper?" Anywho, let's not forget that Dago makes a return appearance in Dark Age on Mercury. When Darrow saw and recognized Dago, Darrow, quote, felt the movement of the deep mind winds. And I think it plants the seed for and foreshadows Darrow's breath of stone in Lightbringer. Here's why. Dago gives Darrow a canister of his home soil, soil that Darrow rubbed on his hands just before a certain chin said, "Oh gods, brooding again." Maybe dub in Nick's clip here. He does it better. This keeps bringing Darrow back to Mars, to home, to the mines. And that's the last thing that he does, rubbing that home soil onto his hands before Cassius rescues him and all the VIPs, I suppose, from that hilltop. So Dago for Red Rising. On to Golden Sun. My character for Golden Sun is who I'm calling Little EMP Girl. This is the brown girl that Darrow, Ragnar, and the Howlers ran into during their invasion of Aegea. She was standing in the mud, waiting to trigger an EMP. This is where I'd insert a clip of Archer yelling at those two Soviet kids just breaking glass bottles on a rooftop. How is this happy playtime? While Little EMP Girl has no lines, and even her fate is unclear, her actions unleash a whole bunch of character development. In that subsequent fight for survival after losing all of their tech, Ragnar becomes the first Obsidian we know to pick up a razor in hundreds of years. And as Confucius worded it, this is also when he took his stand and declared aloud, "I am a man." While Ragnar may have risen after he had that heart-to-heart with Darrow about Darrow's true nature, this moment here, I think, is when Obsidian as a color began to rise. Seeing Ragnar with a razor leading troops against that wall and killing, was it two Olympic knights? I think that really woke the Obsidians as a color up to what the possibilities are for their role in society. Seeing Ragnar with a razor also led to Thistle losing her mind, figuratively at first, and then literally later. The little EMP girl scene also let Pierce wedge in the possible Jurassic Park Easter egg when Several snarls, "Shoot her!" I think he really wanted to get that line in there because the text has Several as the one doing the shooting, so it's a little odd that he's also the one snarling, "Shoot her!" So that's Golden Sun. My pick for Morningstar is Amathea, who opened the door to the Colossus's bridge for Darrow and company. She has no lines, and we only know her name because Roke says it. Amathea, even you? Those are the first words we hear him say after Darrow's war party breaks onto his bridge. Not some pixie poetic greeting to his erstwhile friends, or an urgently given command, but stunned words to a lover who betrayed him. The words echo Julius Caesar's apocryphal last words, "Et tu, Brute?" Her opening of the door was as good a stab to Roke's heart as any razor. And just imagine the courage it took to press that door button with all those war colors around her, not to mention the legendary Felicia Al something. So that's my picks for the first three books, and I'll have another recording for the next three. Hicus lupus, motherfuckers. Oh!
Thanks, Cassie P.
Amazing. Cassie P., it's so great to have you
We've
back.
We've missed you. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of those characters on my full list that I threw out, like she said.
I want to think about that now. Like, who are my little characters I would have?
I hated that EMP girl.
Rollo, for sure, with his little goatee.
Yeah.
He has a major impact on Sevro.
On Sevro's goatee. Yes. Yeah, we didn't get Rollo in there. Wolfgar, to me, wasn't that small, but he was a very short time.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he's
big
he's a small character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have much.
Yeah. Thank you, Cassie P.
Yeah, so send us your list, your top 25s, top 20s, 10s, 15s, 5s. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. But or your thoughts on our list and what we got wrong, what we got right.
Is there a right or wrong? No.
Email us, call us, 1-800-516-1540.
Wow.
Every time.
Every
time. We're still looking for a jingle.
Impressive.
So if you want to send us a jingle...
Let's
do it.
You should ask me like Beastars.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love to do that. They'll get right on that.
Yeah, they're not writing real songs or anything.
All right, Aaron, you know what it's time for?
What are we into this week?
Aaron, what are you into this week?
I'm into that girl that messaged you and said, "Oh my God, Ben, you just said you were into Lil Nas X." Because she's like behind.
And Billy Ray Cyrus, the fucking...
That's like when it first came out, and now obviously...
I was ahead on that. I'm pretty sure I was ahead.
You were like, "You guys, you have to hear that." And then you like couldn't...
And then it blew up after
couldn't get
that.
Away from it.
Yeah.
That's just funny.
What is that song called?
"I'll Take My Horse to the Old Town Road."
Old Town Road. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't... And like... Now I'm like, what? Who was
now
that?
Now it's embarrassing.
Who was that person?
That you liked that. And that I like that. Thank you for calling Ben out.
Yeah, they sent a message like, "I can't believe that you're writing so hard for this song right now." I'm laughing hysterically at you. I'm like, cool, thanks.
Cool. You're crying while mowing. But now,
so yeah, that's what you get for putting, you know, stuff out on the internet for 6 years, I guess. Shit.
What I'm actually into is Harley and at Harley's Books. Pause. I'm back. I got this super sick ass kit. So what Harley does is she bejewels the covers of books. This one has not been done yet. But
it's about to be.
It's about to be. I chose Lightbringer because of obvious reasons. The horse. Pegasus. Sunblood. And you can order and request a kit from Harley. And it comes with all the colors that you need with the tools. I'm showing it right now if you're not watching. There's the glue, the like special picker uppers, and all the instructions you need in order to bejewel your own cover. So even if you don't order one, you should go follow at Harley's Books.
She has cool stuff with that.
She's done like the ACOTAR books. Mm. She gave one of the bejeweled books to Pierce, and he loved it.
He loved it.
But yeah, go check out her page, the Fourth Wing, Red Rising, all those things.
At Harley's Books.
HARLEYS Yep. Books.
Cool.
Thanks, Harley. And I have not started mine yet because I've been crocheting pumpkins, but I'm almost done. And then I'm going to start on this craft. Oh, also, side note, I went to Barnes & Noble, my local bookstore, to pick up this book. And they didn't have Lightbringer on the shelf. They had all the other books. And then I walk around like the piles, like maybe it's in the piles because it's newer. It's not in the fucking piles. I go ask and they're like, oh, sorry, the only one we have is a misprint. And I was like, oh, can I have it? They're like, oh, it look, and she's like showing me the pages where it's fucked up. And I'm like, no, I know it's hard to understand, but I want this more now. But I got 30% off.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you seen the misprint pages?
Uh-uh.
Let me find one. They were like marked off.
You're like, I have 6 copies of this book already.
I'm like, no, I did say I'm buying this so I can bejewel the cover. And she was like, oh.
Oh. Fucking nerd.
Hey, Ben, what are you into this week?
I am into a musical album called Horseplay. And that's appropriate for the shirt that I'm wearing today. The Mustang horse shirt.
Who wrote Horseplay?
Mustang McGee.
Nice. I already knew
also
that.
Why I'm wearing the shirt.
My husband also listens to Mustang McGee back to back to back. So
yes. Yeah, so I'm Aaron's husband, John, and I are obviously good friends, and we share a lot of music together. So John turned me on to Mustang McGee, and this is an incredible album. It's his first album. He is typically a bassist for Daniel Donato's Cosmic Country, if you've ever heard of that.
It's a jam country. Band.
It's good stuff as well. But he's put out a solo album, and it's kind of like a R&B soul blues album.
And Mustang McGee is a sweet baby.
And he is killing it on this album. It's bangers top to bottom. I fucking love this thing. I've listened to it over and over and over, over again. Like... When I really like an album, I just listen to it constantly.
It's great.
It's fantastic. So highly recommend checking it out. I will take some credit because when we did go see Daniel Donato and he was playing bass, I turned to John and I said, this bassist is fucking killing it. And he goes, yeah. And then he turned me on to Mustang McGee after that. Yeah. So that was cool. But yeah, check him out. It's so good. And it's like... On the DL, there's like 5,000 listens a month on Spotify. So you can get on
and
the ground floor.
And you're all of those.
I'm most of them right now. So you can get on the ground floor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we doing next week on HowlerPod?
So next week, we will be wrapping up the Prime 25. We'll be doing some Howler mailbag.
Yes.
Maybe we'll be talking about some current events. I don't know.
In the Red Rising universe.
In the Red Rising universe. Yeah.
Not this one. That's not why we read.
No.
We read to escape.
Yeah. So come check it out and make sure you get those emails, voicemails in. We want to hear from you.
Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment. Give me the fucking book.
Yeah. For your chance to win.
You don't
win.
Have to curse if you don't want to, but it will increase your chances.
It is a beautiful
We'll do a random generator from all the comments.
Yeah. Beautiful book. So
beautiful book.
Check us out on YouTube.
Special thanks to our fantastic Howler Pod artist, Miles Bensky at M. Bensky Designs. Mentioned frequently on today's episode.
I feel like Miles is just a part of the pod at this point.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Miles. And subscribe. Follow us at Howler Pod, at Howler Pod Official on TikTok. Email howlerpod@gmail.com. Voicemail 1-800-516-1540.
You killed it.
And rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then this horse won't ride for you.
At all.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Howlers.
Omnisphere Lupus.
Ow!